إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session and final session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, dealing with the topic of tawakkul, tawakkul ala Allah, yani having trust, dependence and reliance upon Allah. The original topic was from the presentation of Shaykh al-Alama, Salih ibn Fawzan, ibn Abdullah, Ali Fawzan, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And that was followed by some questions that were addressed to the Sheikh, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah, and followed by questions that were presented to Sheikh Abdul Razak. And last week we had a brief presentation related to the relation between utilizing the means to achieve the goal, yani, utilizing the asbab, and that there's no contradiction between that and having iman in al-qadr wal-qadha, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week, as Allah decreed it to be, we didn't finish that topic, and it remained a question that the Shaykh presented, which we're going to begin with today, and then after that we're going to take our final topic, which is from the presentation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And this is going to be, we hope, our final session. So before we begin with what remained from last week, we're going to look at the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 12, containing 5 of the 7 questions that were in the original study guide. 5 questions, the remaining 2, inshallah, we're going to address today, and they'll be in the study guide for today. So the first question from last week was, a person's utilizing the asbab, the means to achieve a thing, utilizing the asbab, and asserting himself in beneficial actions, actualizes the perfection of what? Yani, what is it that a person is able to achieve by utilizing the asbab and exerting himself in utilizing beneficial actions? So the Shaykh said, Naam, Fadl, Abu Bakr?
Yeah, the completion and perfection of the iman and al-qada.
Naam, the completion or the perfection of iman in al-qadr wal-qadha. Yani that the person's utilizing the means, this is a way to realize, to actualize the completion or the perfection of that iman in al-qadr wal-qadha. Yani a person believes in the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, the actualization, the realization of the perfection of that iman is achieved by actually utilizing the means and striving to do those actions which are beneficial, that enable a person to achieve the thing that Allah decreed. And that's part of His divine decree. The second question, when Allah determined the divine decrees, He made 2 things as essential, as an essential part of what He decreed. 2 things, Abdul Wali.
When Allah decreed a thing, i.e. a person to be smart or scholar, He also decreed the asbab to reach that when He decreed studying at night, going to school, sacrificing things that, you know, allow a person to reach that level.
Now, when Allah decreed something, for anything in the creation, human or otherwise, He decrees along with that thing that He decreed to happen, He decreed along with it the means through which that would be achieved. And the turuq, the ways, the paths that a person would travel upon to reach that destination. So this is a part of the decree of Allah. Allah decreed somebody to become rich or to become a scholar, so He also decrees the means to doing so by learning and studying and seeking knowledge and so on, and the path that a person travels in order to achieve it. So this is, you know, this is part of the core meaning of what the Shaykh is presenting in that topic last week. That is, that not only is there no contradiction between utilizing the means and at tawakkul, depending upon Allah, but likewise there's no contradiction between believing in the divine decree that Allah has fixed something and utilizing the means that Allah has decreed along with, yani, whatever He intended to happen, He also decreed along with it the means through which a person would reach that point. The third question, mentioned a hadith which clearly proves the interrelationship between the qada of Allah and utilizing the asbab. The interrelationship between the qada of Allah and utilizing the asbab. Hadith, naam. Fadl, Abu Bakr. نستقيها
أو أدوية نتداوى بها ونقاتل نتقيها
تقاتل التاء
نعم تقاتل
نعم
هل ترد بها قدار الله وقداره قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هي من قدر الله
نعم. The hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ was asked by someone, what is your view of the ruqa, yani the recitations, ruqya, that we recite, yani that we seek cure from, or the medicines that we use to seek cure from, or the things that we use to protect ourselves? Yani, what is your view concerning this? Do these things repulse or turn away or avert the divine decree of Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ said that these things are part of the divine decree. They are part of it. Yani, Allah decreed somebody to get sick or to be healed, and He decreed along with it the means and the causes of that person becoming sick and of them being cured. All of that is part of the divine decree. Question number four, أعظم المقاصد, the greatest objective in life without exception is what? And the Shaykh mentioned three things that are part of one another. Naam, Abdul Wali.
To seek the pleasure of Allah.
Earning the pleasure of Allah.
To earn His reward.
His reward.
And be free from His punishment.
And to be free from His punishment. Yani, the greatest objective in life is that a person seek to earn the pleasure of Allah. And to be successful in achieving His reward and being saved from His punishment. And whoever attains the pleasure of Allah, then they will be rewarded by Allah, and they will be saved from His punishment. The last question, the author explains that Allah has made the means and the ways, the asbab, to achieve the objective. He has made the means and the ways to achieve this objective, yani the greatest objective, the pleasure of Allah. He has made it, iman and what? Naam, fadl.
His branches and things
that... Iman and its branches, naam. Commands and prohibitions, and to be upright. Anything else somebody want to add to that? Anything else? The means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated to achieve the greatest goal, that is the pleasure of Allah, is number one, iman in its branches, that which is apparent and hidden. Huh?
Yeah, to worship Allah, have the class in Allah, single out Allah for worship, and stick upright and
have that a person have iman, and then along with that iman, that they fulfill the obligation of worshipping Allah. And in addition to that, that they make the deen, yani ikhlas, a deen lillah, making the deen purely for Allah alone, and then they stick to and adhere to, yani istiqamah wa taqwa, yani being upright and observing piety. So these are some of the topics that we discussed last week. And this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to continue with what we left off last week, where the Shaykh, after presenting this topic, he says, فَإِنْ قِيلَ, yani he presents the question, what if it is said, قَدْ تَوَضَّحَ لَنَا أَنَّ السَّعْيَ فِي الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُوصِلَ إِلَى مُسَبَّبَاتِهَا مُطَابِقٌ لِلْقَضَى وَالْقَدْرِ مُؤَيِّدٍ لَهُ وأنه يتعذر الإيمان الصحيح بالقدر بدون فعل الأسباب فما أحسن طريق يسلكه العبد. Yani if it is said that, okay, it has become clear to us now, it has become clear to us that a person striving and making effort to utilize the means that enable a person to attain, yani the objective, yani the means to the thing that you're trying to achieve. If it has become clear to us that utilizing the means is in accordance with, is in harmony with what Allah has decreed, and it aids it, yani it's a part of it, facilitates it. And also it has become clear to us that it is impossible for a person to have al-iman as-sahih, correct iman in the divine decree. It's impossible for a person to have correct iman in the divine decree without utilizing the means. Yani that it is of a necessity that a person has to utilize the means. To have correct iman in divine decree, it means that a person has to utilize the means that are part of that decree, that Allah has decreed. If this has become clear to us, he said, then, now, what is the best ahsan tariq? What is the best path, road, for a person to travel? For the abd, the worship of Allah, what is the best path to travel? The shaykh, he answers this question, yani in two parts. The best path in a person's religious affairs, and the best path in a person's worldly affairs. This answer to this proposition, yani if we have understood this matter, that utilizing the means is in agreement with, in harmony with, and supportive of the divine, the iman and divine decree, then what path should we travel? What are we supposed to do then in our religious affairs and in our worldly affairs? So the Shaykh, he takes the first part of it, the most important part, that is, the religious affairs is most important, he begins with that. So he said the answer is أحسن طريق يسلكه العبد في أموره الدينية, يعني the best path for an abd, worshipper of Allah, to travel in one's religious affairs is number one, الاجتهاد في تفهم كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That a person make ijtihad, strive, struggle, make an effort, not casually just take it yani as it comes, but ijtihad في تفهم كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That a person strives to understand the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani the path to travel is number one, that a person has to make effort, has to get up and go out and strive and struggle and travel and seek knowledge, seek understanding of the book of Allah and seek understanding of the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this theme, yani proper understanding of the book and the sunnah, is the theme of the people of sunnah. Yani this is the most important thing, that a person understands the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But a person has to strive, the shaykh is saying, to do that. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. Yani that a person just wants to understand and it just comes like that. It requires work. The second thing he said, وَتَحْقِيق الْإِخْلَاص لِلْمَعْبُودِ, yani the actualization, the implementation of yani ikhlas, sincerity for the ma'bud. The ma'bud is what? Is who?
The one that is worshipped.
The ma'bud. The abid is the worshipper. The ma'bud is the one that is worshipped. And this is what we understand from the scholars of the sunnah. The meaning of la ilaha illallah is la ma'bud bihaqin illallah. That there's no ma'bud that has a right to be worshipped except Allah. And that's why it's wrong when people translate la ilaha illallah to mean there's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah does not mean there is no God but Allah. Allah mentions throughout the Quran that there are many aliha, that the pagans worship, many gods. But there is no thing that is worshipped that has a right, bihaqin, except Allah. That's the meaning of la ilaha illallah. The Shaykh is saying here that we have to make, yani, we have to actualize the ikhlas for the ma'bud. That the one who is to be worshipped, that has a right to be worshipped, has to be singled out exclusively in fi kulli amalin, in every deed that one does, wa qawlin, in every speech that a person speaks, wa aqidatin wa tariqatin, in every aqidah, in everything that a person believes in, And in every path that a person travels, it has to be purely, sincerely for Allah alone. تحقيق الإخلاص للمعبود في كل عمل وقول وعقيدة وطريقة. Everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we believe, and every path that we travel has to be spoken, acted upon, believed in, traveled upon, purely for the sake of Allah alone. And we're only doing whatever we're doing or saying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing he said, تحقيق متابعة الرسول. That a person actualize the following, the adherence, the strict adherence to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That a person follows the sunnah in everything in their life. Strictly adhering to the sunnah. Mutaba'atu al-Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last thing he said, which is the result of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strictly. If a person strictly follows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they will also do the fourth thing, and that is ijtinab al-bid'ah al-i'tiqadiyya والبدعه العمليه. That a person distance themselves. Ijtinab doesn't just mean that a person doesn't do something, but it means that they stay far away from it, stay distance from every type of innovation, whether it is innovation in the beliefs al-i'tiqadiyya or innovation in actions, in worship, in deeds al-amaliyya. This is the best path that a person can travel in their religious affairs. That they strive to understand the book and the sunnah. That they actualize making everything sincerely for Allah alone. In their speech, their actions, their beliefs, and the path that they travel. And that they also actualize in their life, they make it a reality. That they follow exclusively the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that they avoid every type of innovation, whether it's in beliefs or in actions. And it would be good if time, yani, were with us today to mention examples of some of these innovations in beliefs and innovations in actions, just so that it's clear. But at least one example of innovations in beliefs is where people innovated something that's not a part of the Islamic aqidah. So for example, some people claim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was created from light. This is a false belief. This is false aqidah. Some people claim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't die. Some people claim that the saints, so-called saints, who are buried in graves, can answer their calls and their needs. These are examples of aqidah, yani wrong beliefs. And sometimes those wrong beliefs lead directly to wrong behavior. Like the worship of the graves. And other than this, the calling on the Messenger of Allah instead of calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on like this. The Shaykh, he says after this, فَهَذِهِ الطَّرِيقَ الدِّينِيَّةِ هَذِهِ الطَّرِيقَ الدِّينِيَّةِ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ وَبَرَكَةٌ. That this religious path, the path that a person should travel in their religious affairs, contains al-khayr, all good, and al-barakah, and all blessings. وَالْقَلِيلُ مِنْهَا أَعْظَمْ ثَوَابًا وَأَبْلَغُ نَجَاحًا مِنَ الْكَثِيرِ مِنْ غَيْرِهَا. And even a little bit of following this road, this path, taking this path, is greater in reward and more far-reaching in saving one than much of any other path. And a little bit of this is better than anything else, than a lot of anything else. And then he says, وَأَمَّا الْأُمُورَ الدِّينِيَّةِ. As far as the worldly affairs, the person, أَمَّا الْأُمُورَ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ. As far as the person's worldly affairs, فَالْعَبْدُ مُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَى كَسْبٍ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلِمَنْ عَلَيْهِ مَعُونَتُهُ. That every person is in need of earning a livelihood for himself and for those who are dependent upon him. فَعَلَيْهِ بِسَبَبْ يُنَاسِبُ حَالَهُ. So here the Shaykh mentions about five or six things in terms of the path to travel in one's worldly affairs. The first of them is in points. Yani the first point is that a person has to utilize the means to earn his livelihood. A person has to utilize means, not expect that something is just coming from nowhere. فَعَلَيْهِ بِسَبَبٍ يُنَاسِبُ حَالَهُ. That he must utilize some means that is suitable for his condition. Yani, find some occupation that's suitable for your condition. Everybody is not fit for everything. Suitable occupation, means of livelihood that suits your condition. وَيَتَّفَقْ مَا وَقْتِهِ, and that also is in agreement with the time that you have. And everybody doesn't have the same amount of time. So a person seeks a means of livelihood that's suitable for his condition, and that is in agreement with the amount of time that that person has. مِنَ الْمَكَاسِبِ الْمُبَاحَ, from those occupations or those means of livelihood that are permissible. That are permissible. Not any means of livelihood, just because you make a lot of money in this thing. Rather, from those means of making a living that are permissible. And not only that, this is still the first point about finding a means of earning a living that's suitable for you, that's in agreement with your time, that's permissible. وَخُصُوصًا الْمَكَاسِبْ الَّتِي لَا تُشْهِلُ الْعَبْدِ عَنْ أُمُورِ دِينِهِ, and especially that means of livelihood that doesn't occupy the person from their religious affairs, from the affairs of their deen, that doesn't prevent them from fulfilling the obligation to Allah. It doesn't prevent them from praying the five prayers a day, from going to Jumu'ah, from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A livelihood that prevents you from your religious duties is not acceptable. And finally he says, وَلَا يُدْخِلُهُ فِي مَحْظُورٍ, and a livelihood that doesn't cause him to fall into sin, into that which is prohibited. Seeking a means that's suitable for a person's condition, that's in agreement with their time, that's from the permissible means of livelihood, especially that which doesn't distract the person from fulfilling their religious affairs, nor cause them to fall into that which Allah has prohibited. Then he goes to the second point. The second point is, when he has found that means of making a living, that occupation that fits all of those things, وَلْيُثَابِرْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ السَّبَبِ, then that person should be constant, consistent in utilizing that means. Yani, go at it, go after it. إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ, be diligent in seeking that which is of benefit to you. And he stick to it, work at it, be diligent in it. Third thing, وَلْيَكُونُ اِعْتِمَادُهُ عَلَى مُسَبِّبِ الْأَسْبَابِ, and his dependence, yani when he finds the means of livelihood and he works at it, but his dependence is not on the means, his dependence is on مُسَبِّبِ الْأَسْبَابِ, the one that causes the means to have an effect, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Utilize the means, but your heart is not attached to the means, because Allah is the one who makes it happen. Fourth, he said, وَلْيُكْفِرْ مِنْ سُؤَالِ رَبِّهِ لِيُيَسِّرْ أُمُورَهُ وَأَنْ يَخْتَرْ لَهُ أَحْسَنَ الْأَحْوَالِ. Person chooses the right occupation, and they work hard at it, and they depend upon Allah, and then he said that they frequently ask their Rabb to make their affairs easy for them and to choose or to decree for them the best conditions and circumstances. So a person chooses the right occupation, they work hard at it, they depend upon Allah, and they ask Allah to make their affairs easy for them. They don't just take it for granted. They ask Allah, yukthir, a lot. They constantly ask Allah, make my affairs easy for me and decree to choose for me the conditions and circumstances that are best. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, وَلْيَكُنْ قَنُوعًا بِرِزْكِ اللَّهِ رَاضِيًا بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهِ. Then, when they have done this, they should be content with the provisions of Allah, whatever Allah provided them with. They should be content with that. And he don't complain after that. You have done what you have to do, you put your trust in Allah, you ask Allah to make it easy for you, whatever Allah sends to you, and be content with it. And be pleased with Allah's division of the affairs. بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهِ, and Allah is the one who divides up everything. And the person should be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should be content with whatever they have in their hand, and they should be pleased that it is Allah who has divided it up. He's the one who decides. وَلَا يُحْزَن, or وَلَا يَحْزَن عَلَى مَفْقُود, and they should not be sad or sorrowful over مَفْقُود, yani something that is lost, meaning that which they missed. They didn't get something that they worked hard for, but they didn't get it. Don't let that grieve you. Don't be sad about that. Because whatever Allah has decreed is going to be. ولا يتشوش من مناقضة الأسباب لمراده. And don't be distracted. Don't be يعني distracted. Don't be upset about the fact that sometimes the means that you use didn't attain that which you hoped for, that which you intended by it. Yani the opposite came. You intended something, it didn't come out like that. Because Allah is the one who decrees the affair. So a person shouldn't be upset about this, distracted by it. The fact that sometimes the means that we use does not bring about the desired result. And then the last thing he says, فَبِذَلِكَ يَحْصُلْ رِضَى رَبِّهِ وَرَاحَةُ قَلْبِهِ وَبِذَلِكَ يَحْصُلْ. In this way the person will achieve رِضَى رَبِّهِ, the pleasure of his Rabb, وَرَاحَةِ قَلْبِهِ, and the contentment, the satisfaction, the rest of his heart. And if a person's heart will be at rest, you will attain the pleasure of your Rabb and your heart will also be at rest. وَيُبَارَكْ لَهُ فِي الْقَلِيلِ. And a little that he has, that a person has in that situation, even if it's a little, it will be blessed. It will be full of khair. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. And there's no success except with Allah, the Most High, the Supreme. So this is the end of what we had from last week to complete. And leave this. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our final topic. And the time is already difficult for me. Allah musta'an. So, initially, there was a thought in my mind to have another session in which we would highlight some of the things that we covered in the past. But we're going to go into a new subject. So we're going to just suffice to say that some of the important things that we covered in the past were the thamarat of a tawakkul. I just want to remind us that there are fruits of tawakkul. There are benefits. From the greatest of them, the Shaykh As-Sadi al-Fawzan, Hafizullah, said, is that a person will be taken care of by Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Allah will suffice you. And from the most important of them, is that a person who puts their trust in Allah, they will become إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. That Allah, they will earn the love of Allah. They will become from those who are beloved by Allah, and other fruits that the Shaykh mentioned. Also, from the topics of great importance that we covered in the past, is what Shaykh Salih Fawzan was asked about. How does a person achieve becoming in reality a mutawakkil ala Allah? And from the things that he said there, I just want to quickly remind us of what he said there. He said that a person becomes a mutawakkil ala Allah in reality if they are sincere in their dependence upon their Rabb, due to the fact that they know that the khair is in the hands of Allah alone, and that He is the one who controls all affairs. This is what makes, enables a person to be sincere in their tawakkul ala Allah. That a person knows that the khair, all good, is in the hands of Allah, and He is the one who controls every affair. And then he mentioned the hadith of Ibn Abbas, in which the Prophet ﷺ said in a lengthy hadith, the core of it that's related to our topic, is that if the ummah, the whole of the people in the world, were to come together to benefit you with anything, they would not be able to benefit you with anything except what Allah already decreed for you. And if the whole world was to come together to harm you with anything, they will not be able to harm you with anything at all, however small or great, except that which Allah had already decreed. The Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan said, it is this aqidah, believing this, that enables a person to become truly a mutawakkil ala Allah. That they know that no benefit and no harm can come to them except what Allah decreed. Except what? Allah decreed, because He's the one who controls the whole affair. From the important matters that we mentioned, from what the Shaykh said also, very, very importantly, he said, the things that help a person to attach their heart to Allah. And he mentioned six things. From amongst them, he said, reflecting on the ayat of the Qur'an, contemplating the ayat of the Qur'an, looking at and looking into and contemplating the signs in the creation. He said also having fear of Allah's punishment and hope for Allah's reward, and to remember Allah. يعني الإكثار من ذكر الله والتذكر نعم الله. That a person increase their remembrance of Allah, and they also remind themselves of the bounties and favors of Allah. This is very important. And if, in order for a person's heart to be attached to Allah, and the tawakkul is an action of the heart, then a person has to utilize certain things to do so. From amongst the things that help a person to attach their heart to Allah is yani reflecting on the book of Allah and reflecting on the creation of Allah and remembering Allah frequently and remembering His bounties and favors. Okay, I just want to mention one more thing before we go into the topic for tonight, and that is from the beginning of this course we talked about some of the definitions that the scholars gave of at-tawakkul. And to me, one of the best definitions that was given concerning the meaning of at-tawakkul is what was mentioned by Imam Sa'adi, rahimahullah. And I mentioned that as we go into the topic for tonight, because tonight's topic is related to the fact that at-tawakkul is based upon a person having a good knowledge of Allah and His names and His qualities and characteristics. So this is alluded to by Imam Sa'adi when he said that the reality of at-tawakkul ala Allah, أن يعلم العبد أن الأمر كله لله, is that a person knows that the affair, the whole of it, every affair is with Allah. Allah controls every affair. وأنه ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. And also that a person knows that whatever Allah wills in His universal will, it will be. And whatever He didn't will, it will never occur. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ النَّافِي وَالدَّارُ الْمُعْتِي وَالْمَانِيَ. And to know that Allah, He is the one who benefits, the only one who can benefit, and He is the only one that can harm, and He is the only one that can give, and He is the only one that can withhold. Knowing this. And finally he said, knowing أَنَّهُ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Knowing that there is no power to do any good or any strength to prevent any harm except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The definition of the shaykh here begins with this, and then he mentions al-i'timad, and he depending upon Allah for good and repulsing harm, having trust in Allah and utilizing the means. But what is important here in this definition is that the shaykh begins with the reality of tawakkul is knowledge. Is knowledge. Knowing that every affair is in the hands of Allah. And that Allah's will is executed. And that Allah is the only one who benefits and harms. And Allah is the only one who gives. Yani, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت. That, oh Allah, there is no one who can hold back that which you give, and there is no one who can give that which you withhold. Yani, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends something for you, nobody can stop it. Nobody can stop it. Nothing in the creation can stop it. And if Allah has withheld something from you, nobody can give it. Even if they possess it and they love you and they want to give it to you, they can't give it to you unless Allah allows it. And this knowledge is very, very important. And this leads up to our topic for tonight. Before I read what Sheikh Abdul Razak said, I'm going to also mention here from Sheikh Salih Ali Sheikh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Something that I alluded to previously, I just want to remind us that he said, التوكل على الله يرجي إلى فهم توحيد الربوبية. Tawakkul ala Allah goes back to understanding Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Wa ila ilam al-Iman bi Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And that a person has a great amount of Iman in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And he mentioned some other things, but the point is that he's saying here that knowing Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, understanding Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which deals with what? Allah is the creator, Allah is the provider. Allah is the one who controls all affairs. He gives life and causes death. And this is from the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person knows that, then this is what strengthens a person's tawakkul ala Allah. Because they know Allah is the one who controls all affairs. But again, it goes back to what? Knowledge. يَرْجِ إِلَى فَهَمْ تَوْهِيدَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. Understanding tawheed الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about what Shaykh Abdul Razak says concerning yani, the basis of tawakkul. Yani that is based upon a person having a good knowledge of Allah and His Asma and His Sifat. So these go together because, as you know, when we study Tawheed, we know that some of the scholars divided Tawheed into three divisions and some of them in two divisions. Yani Tawheed Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, Asma wa Sifat. Some scholars said that is Tawheed Ilmi, yani which includes Tawheed Rububiyyah, the Sheikh Salih, Ali Sheikh mentions, and includes Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat that Sheikh Abdul Razak is mentioning in our subject tonight. All of this is part of Tawheed al-Ilmi. And is the knowledge that a person needs in order to single out Allah alone for that which is his exclusive right. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So I'm going to do the best I can to present yani, what the Shaykh mentions here. This is part of what he said concerning a tawakkul. The core of it is related to what? The importance of knowledge of Allah and His names and His sifat. And also, in the end, he mentions the fact that a person giving care to and understanding and acting upon the adhkar and the ad'iyya from the Prophet ﷺ is also a means of realizing a tawakkul. That a person recites those words of remembrance and those supplications, understanding their meaning and acting in accordance with what they require. That this is from the things that strengthen and make firm and revive a person's tawakkul ala Allah. So this is the topic that we're going to present tonight. I'm going to go maybe a little bit more quick than I would like to. Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh begins by saying, مَقَامِ التَّوَكُّلْ مَبْنِيٌّ عَلَى حُسْنِ الْمَعْرِفِ بِاللَّهِ جَلَّ فِي عُلَى فَمَنْ. Stop here. That this high station of tawakkul is mabniyun. It's based upon, it's founded upon husni al-ma'rifa billahi. A person having a good knowledge, good acquaintance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, he mentions here some of the general characteristics and qualities of Allah, and then some of the specific characteristics and qualities of Allah that are from the most important of Allah's sifat. That a person needs to know in order to have a good amount, a strong tawakkul ala Allah. He says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ. Yani since tawakkul is based upon having a good knowledge of Allah, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ رَبَّهُ بِكَمَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ. So the person who doesn't know his Rabb, by his characteristics of perfection, and his characteristics of greatness and magnificence. If a person doesn't know how perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how magnificent is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not be able to have a good amount of tawakkul alayhi. Then he mentions specifically, if a person doesn't know nufuz mashiyatihi, if they don't know that from Allah's characteristics and qualities, is that His mashiyah, His will is executed. And here the mashiyah is in reference to the universal will of Allah. The scholars of the sunnah said, that Allah's will is divided into two types. Al-irada al-qawniyya and al-irada al-shara'iyya. Al-irada al-qawniyya means the universal will. It is those things that Allah decreed to happen, whether He likes it or not, whether He loves it or not, whether He's pleased with those things or not, He decreed these things to happen and they have to happen. Al-irada al-shara'iyya is what Allah legislated. It only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with. It may or may not happen. Allah loves that people perform prayer. Some people pray, some people don't. But when Allah decrees somebody's going to die, they're going to die. That's it. No discussion. So the irada kawniya is when Allah wills something to happen. It has to happen. It may not be what Allah loves. It may be the Muslims being defeated in the battle. He decreed that to happen for wisdom. It may not be what Allah loves, but it's what He decreed. That's His universal will. As far as His shar'i, yani irada shar'iyya, it's what Allah loves, what Allah is pleased with. And the people may or may not do it. These are two different things. We have to distinguish between al-irada kawniya and al-irada shari'a. Here he's in reference to what? Al-irada kawniya. Nufud mashiyatihi. From the qualities of Allah is to know that when Allah wills something, His universal will, it has to happen. Wa shumuli qudratihi. And the comprehensiveness of His power. Yani Allah's power is completely yani comprehensive. There's nothing that's outside of His power. وَإِحَاظَةِ عِلْمِهِ. And the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. Nothing is outside of His knowledge. These are from the most important characteristics that a person needs to know. That Allah's will is executed. That His power is comprehensive. And His knowledge is encompassing all things. وَكَمَالْ إِرَادَتِهِ. And the perfection of His irada. Here, the irada that is intended here, and Allah knows best, is irada shara'iyya. that his irada shar'iyya, what he legislated, is perfect. It's perfect. It may not occur, because everything that Allah legislated doesn't happen. People don't do it. People don't do it. Some people, yani, believe, and some people don't believe. Allah legislated that we believe, that we worship Him, that we pray, that we fast. But not everybody does it. But that which He, yani, what He legislates, it is perfect. His legislation is perfect. وَنُفُوذُ قَضَائِهِ, and that what Allah decrees in His divine decree will also be executed. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُحْسَنْ أَتْتَوَكَلْ عَلَيْهِ. So the person who doesn't know these things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not do well in putting their trust in Allah. The Shaykh goes on to say, he repeats, so tawakkul is based upon having a good knowledge, a good acquaintance with Allah. And for this reason, the stronger is a person's iman in Allah, and the more correct is a person's knowledge of Allah, then the stronger will be their dependence upon Allah, and the greater will be their seeking refuge in Allah, and turning all of their affairs over to Allah, and turning to Allah for every one of their affairs. Yani turning to Allah for every affair, and for everything that is of benefit to them, and for every need that they have, whether it is in their religious affairs or in their worldly affairs. Yani the greater is a person's iman, and the stronger and more correct is their knowledge of Allah, the greater will be their tawakkul. Then he says, وَقَدْ تَكَاثَرَتْ الدَّلَالِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمْرًا بِالتَّوَكُلُ وَحَثًا عَلَيْهِ. Yani, that the evidences in the book and in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ are many, in which we are commanded to put our trust in Allah, and we are encouraged to put our trust in Allah, and in which there is containing clarification of al-makana al-aliyah wal-manzila al-rafiya, yani the high station and the lofty status of at-tawakkul, is clarified in many, yani, evidences in the Quran and in the sunnah. And there's also mention of the magnificent fruits of tawakkul and the praiseworthy returns, the things that will come back to a person when they put their trust in Allah. Yani all of this will be achieved by those who put their trust in Allah, whether in this world or in the next life. All of this is clarified in the text of Quran and in the Sunnah. Then he says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has made a tawakkul a shart, a condition for the validity of Iman and Islam. He has made a person putting their trust in Allah a condition for the validity. A person's Iman, a person's Islam is not valid without a tawakkul. The proof of it, he mentions first, for Iman, Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 23rd Ayah, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So it is upon Allah then that you must put your trust, if indeed you are believers. If you are believers, you must put your trust in Allah. That means, if you don't put your trust in Allah, you're not a believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 84th Ayah, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ. And Musa said to his people, O people, إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. Musa alayhi salam said to his people, if you really believe in Allah, then upon Him put your trust, if indeed you are really Muslims. And Musa called his people Muslims. If you are Muslim, put your trust in Allah. That means if you don't put your trust in Allah, you're not really a Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the people to put their trust in Him. And He made it a condition of the validity of a person's Iman or Islam that they have tawakkul alayhi. And He mentioned from the characteristics of ibadihi al-mu'minina wa awliyaihi al-muqarrabina, that from the characteristics of the believers who worship Allah and the awliya of Allah who are near to Him, yani, is that they have tawakkul ala Allah. And then the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made known to us, yani, or it is mentioned in some of the evidences, that the greatest iltija, yani, turning to Allah, seeking refuge in Allah, the greatest seeking refuge in Allah is when a person, or when the people seek refuge in Allah with their heart being dependent upon Allah. With their heart being dependent upon Allah. And when they surrender all of their affairs to Allah, and when they are sincere, yani, in turning to Him, seeking refuge in Him, when they are sincere in doing so. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Anfal. I don't know, it's like the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, 2nd, 3rd, 4th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ كُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. That indeed, the believers, and only these are the believers, those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts, yani, experience fear. And when the ayat of Allah are recited to them, they are increased in iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. And on their Rabb alone, they put their trust. They are those who establish the prayer, and they spend from what we have provided for them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These, and only these, with these descriptions, are those who are the believers in truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that from the supplications of those who are near to Him, from the awliya of Allah, is that they said, as mentioned in Surah Al-Mumtahana, 59th Surah, 4th Ayat, رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. That, O our Rabb, it is upon You that we put our trust, and it is to You that we return, that we turn back in obedience, and it is to You, yani, that we will, our end, yani, we will return to You. And he mentioned, subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning the Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam, that he said, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. That he said, I have no success except with Allah, and it is upon Him that I put my trust, and it is to Him that I turn back in repentance. And he also mentioned, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, tawakkul as a characteristic of all the prophets. In Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 12th Ayah, وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَقَدْ هَدَانَا سُبُلَنَا. How is it that we cannot, we would not, why is it that we would not put our trust in Allah when He has guided us? Yani, to سُبُلَنَا, yani, the ways that we are upon, the right ways that we travel upon. And in the Quran, there are many ayats that command, yani, many ayats in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabbul Alameen, has commanded His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the master, the leader of all of humanity, of Waladi Adam, all human beings, and he is the imam of the people who put their trust in Allah. He ordered him, yani, in many ayats, to, yani, have tawakkul alayhi, to put his trust in Allah alone. From amongst those ayats he mentioned from Surah Al-Furqan, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Put your trust, yani, ordering the Prophet, put your trust in the one who is living and who does not die. And in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 81st Ayah, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And put your trust in Allah, and sufficient is Allah as a disposer of your affairs, as a wakil. And the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 61st Ayah, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Put your trust in Allah, indeed He is the one who is all hearing and all knowing. And other ayats other than these are also mentioned, yani, where the Prophet ﷺ, who is the leader of humanity and the master of the people, put their trust in Allah, he's ordered by Allah to put his trust in Allah. The Shaykh said, reflect upon these ayat and the irtibat bayn at-tawakkul wal-ma'rifa billahi wa asma'i wa sifati. Reflect upon the connection in these ayat between the command to put your trust in Allah and the knowledge of Allah and His names and His sifat that are mentioned in these ayats. And in each of these ayats, Allah mentions the command to put your trust in Allah. He also mentioned something from His names that indicate His qualities and characteristics. Al-Hayy Alladhi La Yamut, Yani Al-Wakil, Kafa Billahi Wakila, As-Sami'il Alim, and so on. The Shaykh says, so for example, the saying of Allah the Most High, Tawakkul Ala Al-Hayy Alladhi La Yamut, yani, put your trust in the all-living who doesn't die, yani, the one whose life is perfect, that has no defect in it, and it never ends. In it, in this ayat, فِيهِ أَنَّ التَّوَكُّلْ أَلَّذِي هُوَ اِعْتِمَادِ الْقَلْبُ وَتَفْوِيدُهُ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا بِمَنْ هَذَا وَصْفُهُ. يعني الحي الذي لا يموت. يعني in this ayat, it contains this meaning, that a tawakkul, reliance and dependence and trust, which is the reliance in the heart and one surrendering their affairs to Allah, that this tawakkul is not to be for anyone other than the one who's described with this description. Al-Hayy alladhi la yamut, or Al-Sami' al-Alim, or Kafa billahi wakila. Yani these descriptions of Allah, these names of Allah, are indicating that the tawakkul shouldn't be for anyone except the one who is described with these descriptions. The Shaykh says, for example, in this ayah, Allah mentions that no one should put their trust except in the one who is described with this description, Al-Hayy alladhi la yamut. He said, so everyone other than Allah is not outside of one of three possible conditions. Either they are living and they are going to die, or they were living and they've already died, or they are those things which have no life, any inanimate things. Everything in existence is either, it has no life from the beginning, inanimate, or it lived but it died. Or if it's living right now, everyone who's living is going to die, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, every person, every one of these three categories of created beings, none of them should anyone put their trust in, but rather the only one that one should depend upon is the one who is living and who will never die, and that is Allah the Rabbil Alameen. And for this reason, alhamdulillah, the Imam left the Iqamah time to 15 after. Give us a few more extra minutes, inshaAllah. For this reason, it came in the authentic hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in response to that ayat, put your trust in Al-Hayy alladhi la yamut, he supplicated with this supplication, Allahumma laka aslamtu, O Allah, to you alone I have submitted, wa bika amantu, and in you alone I have believed, wa alayka tawakkaltu, and upon you alone I have put my trust, wa ilayka anabtu, and it is to you alone that I turn back in obedience, wa bika khasamtu, and it is with your help and your aid that I argue my argument or my case with the evidences that you have provided. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi izzatika la ilaha illa anta an tudillani. O Allah, I seek refuge in your might. There is nothing that deserves your worship except you. I seek refuge in your might from you misleading me. And then he said, anta, ya Allah, anta al-hayy alladhi la yamut wal jinn وَالْإِنْسِ يَمُوتُونَ. That Allah, you are the living who has perfect life, who will not die, and the jinn and the ins, the jinn and the human beings will all die, will all die. And then the Shaykh says, so therefore the one that trust should be put in is the one that has perfect life, the one that doesn't die, and that is Allah Rabbil Alameen. And then he mentions the ayahs from the Quran that prove that everything will die except Allah. From Surah Al-Qasas, 28th Surah, 88th Ayah, كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Everything will perish except the face of Allah. And in Surah Al-Rahman, 55th Surah, 26th and 27th Ayah, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَ وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجِلَالِ وَالْكَرَامِ. That everything that is upon it, yani, will cease to exist, and what will remain is the face of your Rabb, the one who possesses majesty and glory. After this, the Shaykh says that Allah says in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ, and put your trust in the one who is mighty and who is merciful, in Surah Al-Shu'ara, 26th Surah, 217th Ayah. And yani, part of what he said concerning this ayah is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he is Al-Aziz, the one who, if anybody puts their trust in him, they would never be overcome. And then he says, and he mentions from Surah Az-Zumr, 39th Surah, 36th Ayat, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Isn't Allah sufficient for his servant, his worshipper? And he mentions also from Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 3rd Ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever puts their trust in Allah, he will be sufficient for him. And then he mentions the hadith which we mentioned previously in our discussion. The hadith that's reported in the Sahih from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in which he said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for us. Wa ni'mal wakil, and he is the best one to dispose of our affairs. And he is the best one to surrender our affairs to take care of our affairs for us, to represent us in all of our affairs. This was stated by Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown into the fire. And it was stated by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when it was said by the people, indeed the people have gathered against you, so fear them. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And then they said, he and the companions, they said, and he said that they were increased in iman, and they also said this, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 173rd ayah. And in a narration of this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas, it's reported in the Sahih that he said, كَانَ آخِرَ قَوْلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حِينَ أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Yani the last thing that was said by Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown in the fire, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient for me, and He is the best one to dispose of my affairs. And this shows the importance of this statement. A man is thrown into the fire, and the last thing that he says is, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient. And which proves that every person, if they put their trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah promised us that whoever puts their trust in Him, He will suffice you. Then the Shaykh mentions a saying from one of the Salaf. So he says here, so whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will suffice them, even if the heavens and the earth and everyone in them plotted to harm you, Allah would suffice you. So the summary of this affair is what? That at tawakkul ala Allah, it is based upon having a good knowledge of the names, the beautiful names of Allah, and the lofty qualities and characteristics of Allah. And the more a person has knowledge of Allah, the greater will be their trust in Allah, and the better will be their seeking refuge in Allah, and the more, the better will be their affairs. Yani their affairs will be taken care of. Then he mentions a saying from one of the Salaf, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَعَنْ مَعَسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ, whoever is the one who has most knowledge of Allah, that person will be the most fearful of Allah. And that person will be the most desirous, seeking to worship Allah. And that person will be the most abad, distant from disobedience to Allah. And whoever has the best knowledge of Allah, that person will have most fear of Allah. And that person will be the one who seeks to worship Allah more. And the person will be more distant from disobedience to Allah. And this is similar to the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha, 35th Surah, 28th Ayat, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That is indeed the ulama, the people who have knowledge, they are the ones who have khashya, fear of Allah. They are the ones who have khashya. So the more a person has knowledge of Allah, the more they will have khashya of Allah. And this khashya is what prevents a person from disobedience to Allah, and enables a person to prepare for the meeting with the one that they fear. And this is an indication of the excellence of knowledge, because knowledge calls a person to have fear of Allah. And the people who have fear of Allah are the people who Allah will honor. As he mentioned, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Yani that this reward of paradise is for the people who have fear of their Rabb. The Shaykh, he says, and we're actually at the end of our time now, but we're going to finish this, our last session, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The Shaykh, he says, so tawakkul ala Allah, this is an affair that is, its place is the heart of the believer. Tawakkul is in the heart. That a person, depends upon Allah in their heart. The dependence is in their heart. And that surrendering their affairs is an affair of the heart. So the reality of a tawakkul is something that's in the heart of the person, that they seek refuge in Allah, that they depend upon Allah, that they surrender their affairs to Allah. إِمَانًا مِنَ الْعَبْدِ أَنَّهُ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ وَلَا قُدْرَةَ لَهُ عَلَى فِعْلِ شَيْءٍ وَلَا قِيَامَ بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ مَصْلَحَ دِينِيَةٍ أَدُّنْيَوِيَةٍ إِلَّا إِذَا مَدَّهُ اللَّهُ بِالْمَعُونَ وَالتَّوْفِيقُ وَالتَّصْدِيقُ. That's because the person has iman, true iman. The person has iman, in the fact that they have no strength and no power and no ability to do anything or to benefit themselves with anything in their religious affairs or their worldly affairs, except that Allah grants them help, and Allah gives them the ability to do it, and Allah enables them to do it correctly. And it is for this reason that the scholars said that tawakkul is an ibadah that must constantly accompany the believer in all of their affairs, in every matter that is of benefit to them, in their religious affairs and in their worldly affairs. And therefore a person is in need of having sincere tawakkul ala Allah in their salat, in their siyam, in their hajj, in their being kind and dutiful to their parents, and doing good in every other act of obedience. A person is in need of sincere tawakkul ala Allah, so that Allah will help them, give them the help they need to do it correctly, and to be successful in completing it. And likewise, a person is in need of this tawakkul in their worldly affair, in every event, in every need that they have in this world. And that's why it came in the hadith from our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he said, if a person goes out of his house, every time a person leaves the house, if he says, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it will be said, yuqal hina idhin, hudita wa kufita wa wuqita. Hudita, you have been guided. Wa kufita, you have been sufficed. Wa wuqita, you have been protected. If a person, and in the narration of the hadith, it said that the shaitan will then leave that person. And another shaitan will say, what can you do with a person who has been guided, who has been sufficed, who has been protected? So this blessed supplication has been legislated for a person to say every time they leave their house for any affair, whether it's a religious affair or whether it's a worldly affair. Going to the masjid, you're going to work, doesn't matter. Every time you leave, you should say this, because indeed, la ghina lahu an rabbihi subhanahu wa ta'ala tarfata ayn. Nobody is free of need of his Rabb, even for one moment, even for the blinking of an eye. And this came in the hadith, in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, and other than that, that the Prophet ﷺ taught his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha to say this saying every morning and every evening, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghithu, aslih li sha'ni kullah, wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. O Hayy, the one who is all living, Qayyum, the one who takes care of every affair and self-sufficient, it is in your mercy that I seek help and aid. Bi rahmatika astaghithu. So correct and rectify all of my affairs. Wala takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. And don't leave me to depend upon myself, even for the blinking of an eye. In this is an indication that the abd, the person, is showing their inability and their dire need of their Rabb, their master, their Mawla, and that they are not free of need of him even for the blinking of an eye. I'm going to close with this point that the Shaykh makes here. Very, very important point. And this is the end of our discussion of tawakkul. He says, وَمَنْ يُطَالِعُ الْأَذْكَارَ الْمَأْثُورَةَ وَالْأَدْعِيَ النَّبَوِيَّةَ سَوَانْ مَا كَانَ مِنْهَا مُوَظَّفًا لِأَوْقَاتْ مُعِينَ فِي الْيَوْمُ وَاللَّيْلَةَ او كَانَ مُطْلَقًا غَيْرُ مُقَيِّدٍ. Any person who looks at the adhkar, the words of remembrance that have been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, and the ad'iyah, the supplications that came from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether they are words of remembrance or supplications that have been designed specifically for certain times in the day or the night, adhkar al-sabah, adhkar al-masa'ah, other than that, or even if they are adhkar or ad'iyah that are mutlaqan, ghayr muqayyid, that are not restricted or limited to any particular time or event, whoever looks at them, they will find في كثير من هذه الأذكار والدعوات تعزيزا للتوكل وتجديدا له وتثبيتا لحقيقته في قلب المؤمن. Whoever examines these supplications, and some of us we have examined them, alhamdulillah, we have spent some years examining them. Whoever examines these supplications, these adhkar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find in many of them that there is that which strengthens the person's tawakkul and renews their tawakkul and makes firm their tawakkul. And this is extremely important. Makes firm their tawakkul in the heart of the believer. So the more the abd, فَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدِ عَظِيمَ الْإِنَايَ بِالْأَذْكَارِ الْمَشْرُوعَ والدعوات المأثورة عن النبي الكريم صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ما فهم معانيها والتحقيق لما تقتديها أثمرت ثمارا عظيما منها تحقيق التوكل وتقويته في قلب العبد. And this is the end of what the Sheikh says, and we're going to end with this, and we're going to hope that we're going to take this and try to apply it. The more a person gives great care to these adhkar and these ad'iyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more a person gives care to them, gives attention to them, reads them, learns them, and understands their meanings. And that's critical. Because somebody might be reciting the Quran, which is yani fi barakah, and there's yani blessings, tawab, but if they don't understand what it means, where's the guidance? Yani a person recites these words, but doesn't know what they mean, where's the guidance? How does that affect the heart if a person doesn't know what they're saying? Whoever gives care to these adhkar and these da'awat, al-ma'athura, al-mashru'a, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma fahmi ma'aniha, along with understanding their meanings, understanding the meaning of the words and the indications that they point to, as the scholars have explained them, not just reading the translation, but understanding the meanings of these words. وَتَحْقِيقْ لِمَا تَقْتَدِهِ, and they also have to put into practice, implement what these words require, what they require of you. The more a person does that, it will bring many magnificent fruits. From amongst those fruits of doing so, of giving care to these adhkar and adhiyah, is that a person will realize a tawakkul ala Allah. And it will also strengthen the tawakkul that is in the heart of the abd. And we're going to, this is what we're going to close with. I just want to remind us that, for example, if a person said Bismillah, as the Shaykh mentioned in the last supplication, that from the last, what he mentioned, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If a person says that, then the fact that you are mentioning the name of Allah, Bismillah, means that yani I am seeking help from Allah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah means that I am consciously, knowingly putting my trust in Allah. Why? Because la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because I know that there is no strength and no power except with Allah. If a person understands that meaning and recites it with that consciousness, believing that in their heart, indeed, this is a means of strengthening their tawakkul ala Allah. This is a means of renewing their tawakkul ala Allah. This is a means of making firm their tawakkul ala Allah. So we have to learn these supplications and these words of remembrance. We have to learn their meanings. And then we have to act upon it. Yani a person has to leave their house saying Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, knowing what it means, and then acting like it. Like really putting your trust in Allah. Not putting your trust in your alarm system, or your weapon, or your security guards. Putting your trust, utilizing the means, yes, naam. Put up the alarm system, if you have a license to carry a gun, fine. But put your trust not in the gun, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because none of these things have any ability to harm or to benefit, except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week, inshallah, we're going to start a new class. And that class is going to be Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. His explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, along with the additional hadith from Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah, a tremendous explanation that the Shaykh has given. That we're going to start with next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I hope, inshallah, that Allah will help us to be able to do justice to what the Shaykh has presented yani in this magnificent book. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khayra. What book?
Yeah.
Inshallah, I'll send the PDF.
Okay.
I'll send the PDF in the next day or two.
Yeah.
To the people who email address we have. We don't have your email address. Just put your name on the sheet that we have. Okay. Give me your email address. We'll send the PDF. The book is not translated.
Oh.
Unfortunately. The book is not translated. But yani, we have a PDF for the Arabic. And inshallah, we're going to go through it. So, yani, normally we try to find a book that's translated, but I couldn't find any translations of this book. So and it's just like too important to just let it go.
What book? What's the name of the book then?
The name of the book is, let's see. Name of the book is الفتح القوي المتين في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. يعني explanation of the 40 hadith and its completion of 50 hadith. يعني الحديث that you know and even Rajab. فتح القوي المتين في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. So picture of it. You can take a picture of it. No problem. We have to stop here because of the time.